The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a joy to be with you. It's a little rainy, to be quite honest, but that's okay. Rainy days can be beautiful days too. Kind of brings out the Eeyore in me, I have to confess, but that's probably because of my vitamin D deficiency and nothing else. No, God brings rain on the just and the unjust, and he sends the rain as well as the sunshine, right? So it's all good.
I thought you were going to quote Luke Bryan there about, you know, rain makes corn. Do you know that song? Corn makes whiskey.
Oh, well, there you go. See, all sorts of things make all sorts of other
country,
things.
All kind of country music wisdom here.
Country music is good. It's it's a lot of plain spoken philosophy with the 3-chord beat. I can
there
dig
you
it.
Go. There you go.
Then I was thinking rainy days and Tuesdays get me down, but we're not going to go down that road. No. Nay, nay. My name is Rebecca. It's great to be with you. You're listening to Faith Works Live, and that other voice that you hear, you know and love, is our co-host on Life Tuesdays, none other than Senior Tim Overlin. Hi there, Tim.
Hello.
And once again, you know, you're holding down the fort in studio because I've got the newborn mom life, although he's actually a month old now.
Nice.
Hard to believe, but he's not letting most of us sleep in general. So we're acclimating as much as possible. But I really, really appreciate you being there we're bearing one another's burdens live on the air, because I don't necessarily know what I'm saying these days because I get like 1 hour of sleep at a time. But that's okay because
just sleep when they sleep, Rebecca. Isn't that the old line, right?
Exactly. You know, sleep when the baby sleeps,
right.
Do laundry when the baby does laundry. It all gets done, right?
Yep.
So that being said, how are you doing? How was this week in Tim Overland's world?
It's pretty good. You know, I was just saying off the air, I've got 8 more days until my first day off since the 9th from my day gig. So, you know, I'm counting it down. I'm ready.
You're a hardworking man.
So
I know that about you.
I'm ready for March to be over.
I think a lot of people, even basketball fans, kind of feel that way.
Especially
at least the ones I've been talking
Iowa
to.
Hawkeye fans are, yeah. Unless they're rooting for the women, they're winning.
Oh, well, see, there you go. It's all in how you look at it. Yep. I appreciate the positive perspective. Now, as you may know, this is Life Tuesday, where we focus on really all issues of life, particularly defending preborn life, preborn people. But it can go any number of directions. So this is a wide territory that we can all be a little bit better versed in knowing how our convictions about living out our pro-life can really look. And we like to have a practical focus on the show. And our upcoming guest has done something pretty practical. He took his skills as a writer and an actor and a director, and he made a movie. So there, if you've got those types of skills, then you go out and you make a movie. I've apparently don't, because I've never done that. But at the same time, Nick Loeb is going to be joining us, and he's written and directed and stars in a new movie about Roe v. Wade, the real story behind the decision that inflicted abortion nationwide. And now a lot of people will say this made abortion legal in America. I will say it paved the way for people to consider it legal.
Right, there you go.
And I just want to be careful about the language at the outset, Tim, because as we both know, this is an issue of major confusion that I think if we go back into constitutional law a little bit more and had maybe the view of the Supreme Court that the founders originally had, that this could clear up a little bit of some of that. But,
and
that's
Rebecca,
another discussion.
Breaking news. I believe the director, Mr. Loeb, is on the air with us.
Oh, wonderful. Hey there, Nick. How are you?
I've been listening to your show on for like the last few minutes. How you guys doing?
Okay.
I thought you were going to say you're an old fan, silent. Nick. You've been watching. I thought you were going to say you've been watching. You religiously watch every single Tuesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we want to be honest. No, it's great to have you with us, Nick. I am glad that you're on the air, and I will kind of turn things over to you because you're the man of the hour. You're the one we want to talk to. First of all, it's great to have you on the airwaves. Second, we're here to talk about your new movie, which everyone can go see, and it is called Roe v. Wade. What inspired you to create this film?
Well, you know, I mean, as a filmmaker, I was sort of, coming from Hollywood, I was sort of shocked that no one actually made the movie on the most famous court case in American history. I mean, we in Hollywood make movies on everything, but not to make a movie on a case that everybody in America has heard of, I thought was sort of staggering. And so, you know, when I set off to start to learn about Roe, because I tell everybody, you know, Roe v. Wade is sort of the court case that everybody has heard of, but nobody knows about. And and I didn't really know anything about it, except that, you know, as you sort of mentioned, this was the case that sort of kind of legalized abortion for women in America. That's not the story. And when I started researching the story of how it came to be and how it was decided, you know, it turned that into like almost like a JFK conspiracy movie to me. And so not only did I find that this was going to be a story that I think everybody should have heard of, I thought it'd be fun and exciting one to tell, it'd be entertaining as well. So from a filmmaker's perspective, I thought it would be fun.
You know, Nick.
Well, and you took that and ran with it. And I think that is probably the most fun that people can have is when you find this new, fascinating, intriguing story that has to be told. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is few things impacted, I believe, American society. Few court cases have had the impact of Roe v. Wade, and everybody knows about it and talks about it. But very few people know the story behind the story, so to speak. And so what are some of the things that might be, not to give the movie away, but what are some of the things that surprised you that you thought everybody needs to know about this?
I'll try not to give some of the fun stuff away, but Roe v. Wade was heard twice. It was heard once in 1971 and again in 1972. It was heard by 7 Supreme Court justices and then again by 9 Supreme Court justices. I think also a lot of Supreme Court justices flipped and changed their votes between both court cases. The people who were involved, you know, made a lot of the evidence up. I won't get into too much because, you know, that's going to be sort of the intriguing, the lies of manipulation of the courts and the media that was utilized in the case, I think is some of the things that'll, you know, your audience will find out in the movie. But I also think, you know, two of the people who were involved, you know, converted and at one point were pro-abortion and then at another point in their lives became pro-life, mm-hmm. Which I thought quite interesting too, that were very involved in the case. But I think one of the things that people don't really realize is that Roe v. Wade, Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade, which is a woman named Norma McCorvey, literally almost had nothing to do with the case. And so she's barely, her character is barely in the movie. And because in history, that's the way it was. They went and they met a girl. They were looking for a girl that they could use to make this case. They signed her up and never talked to her again. And so, Jane Roe never even found out about what happened in the case until she read about in the press. So a lot of fascinating, interesting things that you're going to find out. But, you know, we tell, it's not a documentary. It's a narrated feature film with John Boyd, Stacey Dash, Jamie Kennedy, Joey Lawrence, Robert Dobby, Corbin Bernstein, John Schneider, Steve Guttenberg, on and on. And it really, we tell the story through the eyes of a guy named Dr. Bernard Nathanson, whose character I play. And we follow his journey as he was one of the founders of ARAL, worked with Planned Parenthood to get these laws passed. And we take it through his life to the Supreme Court and then after.
So, Nick, one, I appreciate getting an opportunity. You know, I think we met like 2.5 years ago in Cleveland, and you were out kind of promoting this thing and talking about it already. And I was excited back then, you know, and then with the opportunity to be able to sit and watch this in anticipation of getting to chat with you again, you know, I mean, I'm pretty involved in this world. So, but there were still some fascinating things that, you know, that I hope, and I think, and maybe you can tell us when everybody else will be able to go watch this and where, you know, even if you think you know everything that happened during this time, I think it's worth the watch. And you just, you know, rattled off a whole bunch of the stars that I grew up watching on TV and movies. So that was kind of cool too. But, the Joey Lawrence character, it was really the most fascinating to me, because if, you know, if you grew up watching Joey on TV, it was a little different character this time than in the movie. But, when is this thing coming out? And where can people watch it? I know you had a big premiere at CPAC. Sounded like that was a big deal, but, tell us where we're going to be able to watch this thing.
Yeah, so it's going to be released a week from Friday, Good Friday, actually.
Nice.
April 2nd, everywhere, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play. If any of your listeners only have cable or satellite, it'll be on demand on most cable and satellite providers around the country. And so, you know, streaming nationwide, April 2nd. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people, I've met a lot of people who have been very involved in the movement, even a lot of people. You know, I'm only 45, so, you know, this was a lot of people who grew up during the movement, and they've seen the movie, and they said, Nick, I thought I knew everything about it, but mm-hmm. not until I saw your film. I've learned, shocked of how much I learned by watching your movie. So I think it is, but I'm glad you got to watch it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Hats off to you. I mean, I thought you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Nick, we're coming up on a break here. If you've got just a couple more minutes to hang with us, then I'd love to hear a little bit more about your goal for the movie and what, obviously, the people will watch it, but the idea of changing hearts and minds can be difficult when people feel like you said, they already think they know where they stand. They already think they know all about it. But I know that you've probably gotten a little bit of backlash over the film, and I'd be interested to hear maybe some ways that this might be instrumental in changing people's minds or perspectives, at least giving them more information and another side of understanding abortion and why we must fight for life and stand for life when we come back. You're listening to FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Brought to you by our friends at Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. They offer free services for women in crisis pregnancy in a caring and confidential environment to anyone who needs pregnancy testing, STD testing, confirmation ultrasounds, and so much more. They provide all this at no charge right here in our area every single day. And for those free services, they depend on individuals like us who are passionate about providing quality prenatal care. So to learn more about their ministry and ways you could partner with them, go to agapedsm.com. That's agapedsm.com. My name is Rebecca. Hi, how are you doing? You're listening to FaithWorks Live, and I'm here with my co-pilot on Life Tuesdays, Tim Overland of Personhood, Iowa. And our guest on the line is actor, filmmaker, and just all-around cool guy, Nick Loeb. And he's telling us all about his brand new movie about Roe v. Wade of the same title. And it's fascinating, Nick, that this is a case that so many people feel they know everything about. And yet, as you mentioned, there's an awful lot behind the story that is sort of unknown and that can change your view on, you know, the case itself, but also the ramifications of the case. Because now, over 40 years later, it's hard to think of a more influential single decision. I can't think of one. This comes up on a regular basis. It comes up every presidential election. And clearly, when we live our lives in a way that says abortion is okay, everyone points to Roe v. Wade and says, well, this is what makes it okay. But you mentioned the character, a fascinating character that you play, the real life, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. What were some of the ways that you were able to get into that role? Because that has to be a difficult one.
Well, yeah, so I mean, for those who don't know who Bernard was, Bernard Nathanson was the biggest abortionist in American history. He and his clinic were involved in over 70,000 abortions. He was instrumental in getting Roe passed, as he was sort of the lead doctor providing medical testimony and also one of the founders of the National Association to Repeal Abortion Laws called NARAL. And in 1974, when sonogram technology got better, a year after Roe v. Wade passed, and he did an abortion under a sonogram and realized he was actually killing babies, he converted and became pro-life. And he became very famous and well-known in 1989 by making a documentary called The Silent Scream, where he does an abortion under a sonogram. We follow his journey. And so to answer your question, playing this character, was challenging. It was fun. It was exciting. It was something I wanted to do because I was going to get to play a whole series of emotions where, he was going from being, champion, what he thought was helping women and excited to winning, then to losing, being happy, sad, frustrated, angry, questioning God, questioning himself. And so sort of a myriad of emotions that I got to tackle. And I thought that this was a fascinating character. So that was me getting to play Bernard Nathanson, and hopefully, you enjoy that if you had a chance to watch that.
Is that something that you can relate to a little bit? I mean, what is your personal journey about, being convicted on this issue?
Yeah, so similarly to Bernard, I think, similarly to a lot of people of my generation, and I'm 45 years old, and I grew up, and I was told that when a woman gets pregnant, there's no baby there. It's really just a clump of cells, really until a baby kicks. And so, because of that, I didn't think there was any reason. It was okay. Abortion was fine, right? It was fine. A woman should have the right to get rid of her own clump of cells. I mean, it's not a baby, right? There's no human being there. And so because of what I was taught and what I knew, I had been involved in two abortions in my 20s, which, ended up haunting me. And the realization of that I, killed my own children, was very, difficult on me as I went into my 30s and I started learning more about, technology got better and it became more available on the internet. You could, and then hear a baby's heartbeat in the first 2 weeks. You can see images of babies sucking their thumbs in the womb and moving around, in the first trimester, and you realize it is a human being there. It's not just a clump of cells or a gob of goo. And so, I think that had a tremendous impact on me. And then obviously then when you see it to life, I think you then can't be pro-choice anymore. I think it's very challenging for anyone to still see a human being and think it's okay to kill it, especially an innocent baby. And so, I went through a conversion very similar to Bernard, which I was able to bring a lot of those emotions to the character.
So, Nick, one of the things that Rebecca asked in the previous segment, maybe that is a good time. We got a couple minutes here. You mentioned coming from Hollywood, and you listed a lot of well-known actors that a lot of us have grown up watching or seen in TVs and movies. What kind of, you're going to be what's considered a conservative in Hollywood circles. So what kind of pushback have you gotten? What's some of the feedback, whether it's from your friends there or just in general from folks that are either hearing about this movie, maybe have seen it, maybe some folks that worked on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would find the same if you had some a pro choice movie. You'd get the pushback from some people, but sure. Yeah, I mean, it was hard to raise money. It was difficult to get distribution. The media has blown a lot of things out of proportion. But listen, independent films are hard to get made one way or another. And then you want to, on top of that, tackle the issue of abortion from what side? I'd rather actually address, Rebecca's question about how do you change hearts and minds? And I think, one of the things that you do, and I talk about this a lot, is you stop vilifying the other side, right? You stop calling the pro-choicers baby killers. Because, and we didn't make a movie where we did that. We made a well-balanced movie where we showed the characters who really struggled with this, were women who really struggled about what to do when they got pregnant and went through this trauma of they couldn't afford it or they were scared emotionally or they're scared to tell their parents or all the different things that a woman goes through when she's considering having an abortion is not an easy and a struggling and a difficult thing. So to vilify women because they do that or have an abortion, you're just going to alienate the other side and push them away and they're not going to want to deal with you, and you're never going to change hearts and minds. But if you can take them into the conversation and open up and really lay down sort of a well-balanced argument, have some empathy for what they go through, at the end of the day, say, hey, I understand that this is difficult. Will you take a look and just see it's a baby? And I think 80% of the time we can do that, and they will look, they change their minds, and they don't have that abortion. And I think if we can approach it from sort of a middle ground, and we can really change hearts and minds. I can tell you, my film is not a hit you over the head pro-life, if you're not pro-life, you're the devil movie. It's really a well-balanced film that lays out the argument on both sides to the point where, most of my friends are all liberals and pro-choice. They've watched the movie. I can't tell you countless friends who are now on the fence, questioned, or even converted because they've actually watched my movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the conversation at the very least, especially if people come away, or go into it feeling like they're decided. And then they watch and think, maybe I know a little bit more now. Maybe I need to start asking some questions. Maybe I need to dig into that a little bit more. Absolutely love it. Nick Loeb, and he is the creator and, director, actor, star of this new Roe v. Wade movie. Very excited. Everyone get out and watch this as soon as you can.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
What's for dinner at your house? Well, if you were to come over to my house, we'd pull up an extra chair and we'd let you know that some Animus beef is on the menu, which is amazing. It's the best naturally and home-raised Angus butcher beef that you've ever tasted. And you need it. You need it in your life. If you go to animusbeef.com, that's OHNEMUSbeef.com, you'll get to see a little bit about David and Mary Lynn, who run an excellent farm and enterprise. And if you'd like to know more about how to order beef directly from the farmer, if you've never done it before, it's a little bit different than going to your local grocery store, but it's better. They'll answer all of your questions personally. You can even order online as well for, however many cows you and your family might eat. I'm not judging. And however much freezer space you have, because there are factors there. But I have to let you know, you will not regret the taste of Animus beef on your dinner table. That's animusbeef.com.
Well, they don't. Sorry, I interrupted Bessie.
What's for dinner? Thanks, Ron.
They don't do when you go to Noah's Ark or whatever, right? You get to pick your lobster out of the tank. They don't do it that way, right? You order this in advance and then pick it up in the butcher paper. If I
can't look bossy in the face, and then I that's not cool. I'm squeamish about that.
Good
but
call.
I will say it's delicious. So I've met some of the cows, and then I can distance myself from it enough to say that's a good hamburger. So I guess that's something I can talk to my therapist about later.
There you go.
But the other voice you hear is Tim Overland. I'm Rebecca Haney, and we're here on FaithWorks Live doing what we do on Tuesdays, which is celebrating life and focusing on living out our pro-life in our everyday world. And one way to do that is to be more informed and to use our skills, our conviction, and in artful and creative ways as well to start sparking some of these conversations. And a person that's done that is Nick Loeb. He's actor, filmmaker, just all around creative genius. And this new movie about Roe v. Wade is one you're going to want to see. And Nick, you mentioned your goal about sparking some of these conversations, and the attitude and tone that you take in your film, I think, is important, because sometimes with films that maybe have come across as a little bit preachy, and it doesn't mean they don't have a good message, it just means they're focused on pushing the message, and maybe we can focus as well on just telling a really excellent story, and that'll spur some of those conversations. I think you do that, and I know that was intentional, wasn't it?
It was, and I just want to say, if you continue to call me a genius, I'll stay on the phone forever. So, but no, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, yeah, I mean, I did, you know, my movie is not a faith-based movie. It's essentially, it's a historical perspective of what happened during this time. And we actually tell it from the, you know, for people who may think it's a pro-life movie, we tell it from the pro-choice perspective. I mean, although the protagonist is pro-choice through the majority of the film and doesn't really convert till the end. So you are seeing it from their eyes and what they did to get this passed and done. I think the only thing, you know, that, you know, at the end of the day, what I tell everybody is, listen, you know, people say, what do you want people to take away from this? And I think everyone who's very entrenched in the movement, whether it's the pro-choice or pro-life, will get bogged down by the minutia, and it'll be interesting and fun, and it'll be argumentative, and it'll be good points. But really, the takeaway from the film at the end of the day, are the people who won't get bogged down, and the general public. All I really want them to see at the end of the day from this film is that there's a baby there, that life begins at conception. Whether at the end of the film they come away and say, you know what, I still believe in abortion, I don't believe in abortion. I want people to come away and say, you know what, abortion, you know, when a woman has an abortion, it is the taking of a life of a human being. At the end of the day, if they're still okay with abortion, fine. You know, that's fine in my perspective. You know, do I want that? No, but at least they will have the ability to see and understand that it is not a good and fun thing to have an abortion. And I know that there are some fringe organizations and fringe groups out there that are, say, you know, creating groups like Shout Your Abortion or Proud to Have 6 or 7 Abortions and things like that. But I think the general public, you know, does not truly feel that abortion is a good thing, whether it continues to exist or not. And I think being able to at least show that there's a human being and a baby that's there, I think that'll really, you know, really sort of reinforce that feeling to understand, even though you may think his abortion is necessary still after watching the movie, that you'll take it with a much more serious perspective, and that you'll understand that this is really not an easy decision. And I think that's what's important at the end of the day. And listen, we if we're able, you know, the statistics out there of women who listen to sonograms, who go into Planned Parenthood, and they're forced to listen to sonograms, 80% of them change their mind, mm-hmm. and don't have the abortion. So, you know, so yes, I mean, that'll be the effect, hopefully, of those as well.
So, Nick, I've got a question for you, kind of circling back to one of the characters in the movie that I don't think a lot of people know, and that's Stacey Dash's character. And it's interesting, over this last year, you know, we're just coming off, you know, National Women's Day and all that stuff, and we've had a lot of, you know, race relation issues, and here's a fascinating, brilliant woman, real life woman, you know, who is black and was vehemently pro-life, and her story was fascinating. I think I recognize, because I've heard some of her quotes, that some of the dialogue obviously came from exact, you know, direct quotes from her. Because we had some, and I'm sorry, I'm drawing a total blank on the actual real life person's name.
Her name is Dr. Mildred Jefferson, and I tell you, you know, it's really fascinating and interesting that you bring up the Black Lives Matter movement and the women's movement today, because, you know, the women's movement and the black community has really any time a woman or an African-American person has broken barriers in this country, they're revered, they're put up on a pedestal, they're talked about, they make movies, they write books and articles, and everyone knows their name. No one's heard of Dr. Mildred Jefferson, mm-hmm. who's the first woman to graduate from Harvard Medical School, which I can tell you, at that time, can you imagine being a black woman at Harvard Medical School and being the first one? I mean, this woman was an incredible woman. She broke barriers not only as a woman, but as an African-American, and no one's heard of her. And the reason nobody's heard of her is because she was the second president of the National Right to Life. If she was the president of Planned Parenthood, everyone would have heard her. Yeah. And so I think, she's, a hidden figure in American history that really, and her whole goal was actually fighting to stop abortion because she felt it was the number one killer of her own race, which is now, it has become.
Right.
And so she was not only leading a way in breaking, the glass ceiling for women or barriers for African Americans, but also trying to save future generations of African Americans to come as well. And so she was really an amazing person.
You might have a next mission now, Nick. You might have to make a spinoff of and get Stacy to play do a biopic or whatever you call it on her.
I think we did a lot for Mildred. And mm-hmm. It was very hard to find a lot in Mildred in the film. Actually, my next film is a hidden figure story on an African American, but not Mildred Jefferson.
Awesome.
Oh, that sounds like a fun preview.
Teaser.
A nice little teaser. Well, now if people want to see this movie, so I'm sure their interest is piqued. It's coming out on April 2nd, right?
That's right. April 2nd, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, on demand, cable, satellite. It'll be good for Easter weekend, right?
That'd be perfect. Yeah. I'm going to throw out there now and we'll do it before the end of the show. We were talking off air with Nick and he's been doing screeners around the country. And those of you that have been following, Personhood, Iowa and some of the stuff we've done, we've had some other movies, here in town and across the state. And I'd love to have Nick come in and do a screener. So if you guys have any interest in that, you can email personhoodiowa@outlook.com and let me know, if we can get some folks lined up and maybe we can make that happen and work that into Nick's schedule.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go sign up to do the RoeBWadeMovie.com, it tells you how to set up the screening.
There you go. I'll get on that after the show. Thanks, Nick.
Great.
Nice. RoeBWadeMovie.com. And again, this is a movie people are going to want to see. I think what was interesting is that it tells a story really well. As I said, it's an easy movie to watch. And I think we're used to seeing more of like documentary style portrayals of fact and, like you said, ways to maybe argue one side versus another. But this is just, you're going to want to see the story unfold. And that's the new Roe v. Wade movie. You can find out more at roevwademovie.com. Nick Loeb is our guest, and you're listening to Faith Works Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Our friends at Iowans for Life have been advocating for the dignity of human life from conception until natural death ever since 1972. It's such an important fight, and they do that on many different fronts. You've heard us talk about some of their legislative efforts that they're backing, the Protect Life Amendment, for example. We've been following that, and we just love seeing the way that they advocate for life in educational efforts as well. I learned a lot during Black History Month about famous Black Iowans, which I didn't know about. So Iowans for Life does this and a whole lot more. And you can find out more about their events, their projects, and ways for you to get involved at iowansforlife.org. That That is iowansforlife.org. And of course, our friends at InnerVisions Healthcare Clinic are providing real help and hope for women and men involved in crisis pregnancy. You have options, no matter what. If you're in that position or you know someone who is, they can go to InnerVisions and receive free, caring, and confidential pregnancy care, both on the west side and the south side of our Des Moines area. You can call them 24 hours a day at 515-800-3440. That's 515-800-3440 for InnerVisions Healthcare. My name is Rebecca. You're listening to FaithWorks Live, and Tim Overlin is co-captain. He's the hardest working man in studio.
No. That's wrong.
With possible exception of segue, possible exception of Ron Carlson, our excellent producer. Ron,
that's good
we
for
couldn't
me,
do it without you. It is. And what's good for you is good for us. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. I gotta admit. Hanging with us for the hour has been filmmaker, actor, and writer, and just the guy who knows it all in
genius.
Hollywood.
Don't forget genius.
The creative genius, yes. This is all gonna be on his business card. Yeah. That's a lot of hyphens, I know. But Nick Loeb has been our gracious guest, and he's talking about his new movie, which is Roe v. Wade. And you're going to want to see this film. And in fact, Tim, you were looking into during the break ways that we can get that in our area, and maybe we can get a screening here locally, as well as, you know, there's some virtual options as well, right?
Yeah, and Nick's...
you can watch it virtually, sure.
There you go. Yeah, what you said Good Friday, so be good Easter weekend. Get the family together. It's always good, you know. If, I don't know how everybody else's house is sometimes, but, you know, family dinners, controversial topics, have fun.
Yeah. Well, it goes well over ham dinner.
Sure, and everybody wants to sit around and watch a movie and, you know, eat popcorn. And by the way, there are no other new movies that are coming out anyway. You can't go to the theater. Nobody's been making movies all year. So, you know, unless you want to, you know, watch a rerun, you got to go watch Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, there's pretty few and far between. I just saw they moved Black Widow out to July already. So I wish they would just, whatever, get me grumbling.
Don't mind him. He's a little grumpy right now, but that's because he works so hard. Now, Nick, you mentioned the fun of being able to make a movie with some pretty awesome people, pretty famous people. That's a totally different experience than most of us would have in life. And could you say a little bit about what it's like to make a movie, especially when it's what you might call a passion project, something that you really, really believe in?
Well, I think especially this, this cast was great. I mean, for me, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and so, you know, having like John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard or Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy, Joey Lawrence from Blossom, or, you know, Stacey Dash from Clueless and Jamie Kennedy from Scream. It was like really just like, I'm now like directing these guys. And I was a little kid watching them on TV. The whole thing was quite surreal, to say the least. And so, I was almost like, you know, like a little kid in the candy store. I mean, to me, it was more exciting to be able to direct somebody like John Schneider and Steve Guttenberg and probably like, you know, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, because, you know, I didn't really, you know, they weren't really my idols growing up, like these guys. So it was just a real experience. It was amazing. And they were, you know, salt of the earth guys, you know, really down to earth. But, you know, they're one of the guys who really cared about their roles. They really brought a tremendous amount of professionalism to the project. Maybe you don't see with younger actors today. All of them had done all the research behind the Supreme Court justices they all got to play. And they all wanted to talk about it. And not necessarily about the issue of abortion. They all really wanted to talk about their characters and about the history of the characters, why they made certain decisions about this, that, or the other, not necessarily relative to this case, but all cases, and going backwards, really to sort of help build a basis for who that character or person was. And I thought that was interesting.
Nick, you said something about the professionalism there. If you watch this movie, guys, all of them, you know, but the judges in particular, because they're going to tend to be the, you know, the older actors, And I don't think a one of them, there's no way you would look at this and say somebody mailed it in. I mean, it was really well done. And I've heard, you know, snippets from the case. You know, there's very famous case or very famous exchange between the lawyer from NARAL and one of the justices talking about, well, if the personhood of the fetus is established, it makes your case very difficult. And, you know, so I've heard that a lot, you know, and when we're trying to quote unquote sell personhood. So, it was almost like I could have closed my eyes and listened to that audio from that court hearing. It was so well done. And, you know, like I said, those guys really were, as you said, professionals. And I really enjoyed it. Wasn't one of those, some of those movies sometimes you watch and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the guy's reading it, you know. It was awesome. So you're full, you know, from the director, you and producer and all the way down. I thought it was just really well done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
So as we're stepping into this season where we look at the sacrifice that each and every one of us can be thankful for every single day, as you mentioned, Nick, this is a great time to be able to focus on life and why we care about this type of thing. And it's not just as it's so often subdivided into, you know, women's issues and men aren't allowed to speak about it. And of course, that's ridiculous. But I think your story is evidence as to why all people, because this is it's a people issue, it's a personhood issue. And you're a guy, but you are clearly convicted about why life deserves to be protected. And you're using your voice in a very powerful way. So would you mind just taking a couple minutes and speaking maybe to the guys in the audience that think that they have to be quiet or that they don't have room to speak on this?
Well, you know, I think that the media has really done a number on men out there, and it's sad to see, you know, the way that the media has positioned human beings in life, and really, I would think, emasculated men today in general. I mean, I think what the media has forgotten is that, you know, a child, a baby, a fetus, an embryo. It doesn't belong to one person, doesn't even belong to any one person. It belongs to God, you know, belongs to God, but it is part of two people, not just part of one. It's not just a woman's baby, a woman's fetus, a woman's embryo, that DNA will also belong to the man who created that as well. And, you know, at some point when that child is born, the man is required to take a tremendous amount of responsibility as well for that child. I mean, and although there are situations where that hasn't happened, but and I think maybe, you know, I think that maybe all the media. The media has made this all about it's a woman's body, it's a woman's baby, it's a woman's choice. Hence, it's a woman's responsibility, and essentially, they've alienated men along the entire process. And I think, you know, potentially this is really just, you know, I think it's made men afraid to talk about it, stand up and talk about that this is theirs. And then also what you have done to women. And you've got all of these women complaining that their men aren't there for them anymore.
Right.
Right. And they grew up single women. Well, you know, if the media didn't, you know, push them away and tell them that there wasn't the man's baby, maybe, you know, men wouldn't have left or not felt like it was their children. And so I think, you know, men, we need to, you know, in general, we need to take personal responsibility from the beginning, for the process, from the very beginning, once we get a woman pregnant, all the way, until, you know, we can get that kid out into college, right? And so, you know, it is our responsibility. And I think it being our responsibility means we have to take action and be up and stand and have a voice throughout the entire process.
Amen.
Of it. So, no, it's not easy because we have to fight the media and we have to feel like we're, you know, vilified or be
evicted,
but anyway.
Well, thank you for standing up and allowing your voice to be heard, especially doing so in such a creative way. We look forward to having the Roe v. Wade movie April 2nd. Check out the movie through the streaming service near you, and we'll let you know if we can get a local screening set up. Right, Tim?
Yes, ma'am.
FaithWorks Live.